Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our call. Today we have Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack on the phone line, and in here in the studio with me is Jason Weller, and he's the chief of USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS. And they're going to be talking about an announcement to fund to protect and restore agricultural working lands, grasslands, and wetlands. Once we hear the opening statements, reporters, if you'd like to ask a question, please let us know by pressing star 1 on your touchtone pad. First, we're going to hear from Secretary Vilsack. Good morning.
Good morning, Susan, and thank you to all who are joining us today. And certainly appreciate Chief Weller taking an opportunity to be with us as well. And we'll be hearing from him in just a minute. I think the Chief and I both acknowledge and understand that conservation is critically important to the future of farming and rural America. Last year, we were pleased to announce the Farm Bill and the new Agricultural Conservation Easement Program being launched last year. I remember being in the state of Pennsylvania at a beautiful farmstead making that announcement. Since that announcement, we've seen 144,000 acres enrolled in a variety of conservation easements, 485 easements to be exact. These are easements that are protecting major environmental locations like the Everglades, where we've invested $18 million, helping to protect endangered species in California, or preserving native grasslands in Nebraska. We have a variety of options under this new Agriculture Conservation Easement Program, permanent easements, 30-year easements, term easements, and 30-year contracts, all designed to provide protection and assistance to preserve precious land, to ensure that it provides us the opportunity to continue to have the agriculture that we enjoy in this country. Today, the Chief and I are announcing the availability of $332 million in financial and technical assistance under the Agriculture Conservation Easement Program for 2015. Applications can be submitted at any time, but they are due before May 15th of this year. We know that conservation works, and we're proud of the fact that in this administration we've reached a record level of activity in conservation, over 400 million acres enrolled in conservation programs of one kind or another. Over 600,000 of our finest producers are engaged in conservation practices. We know it works. We know that nitrogen runoff has been reduced by over 3.5 billion pounds, phosphorus reduced by 700 million pounds. Net greenhouse gas emissions have seen reductions of over 360 million metric tons, which is equivalent to taking a little over 12.5 million cars off the road. So this is a good day for conservation. It's a good day for rural America, and it reflects the investment of the Obama administration in preserving our precious land and water resources. With that, I'll turn it over to the Chief.
Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. I'm very excited as well to be announcing this release of availability of funds under the Agricultural Conservation Easement Program. And this is a really important tool as part of our broader toolbox of conservation assistance we can offer to landowners across the United States. It actually really well complements our financial assistance programs. What's great about these easements is that you can also have long-term and permanent protection of vulnerable habitats such as wetlands, whether you're in the Everglades, whether you're in Central Valley of California, whether you're in the Mississippi floodplain along the Mississippi River. But then also it's really critical that these are also working land conservation easements, that you can protect open space, you can protect the integrity of agricultural landscapes, prevent it from subdivision and development, so that you keep those working lands intact. But they're also then you can keep working grasslands intact as well. And the easements are a vital strategy across the U.S., but particularly in the West, where we're looking at critical species such as the sage grouse and other vulnerable species. These conservation easements are a critical tool that we use with our land trust partners, state agency partners, and other conservation organizations to help protect open space, habitat, but also working lands, working ranches, working farmlands, and helping to retain the integrity and the viability of the rural economy across the United States. Overall, we have about 3.4 million acres under long-term and permanent protection through our easement portfolio, and we're excited to see what type of excellent projects will come in again this year with the additional $332 million we're announcing today. We expect we'll be able to get well over 100,000 acres of additional easement conservation protection with this announcement. So we're really excited to see what comes in by May 15th, as you said, is the deadline, so that we can then turn and work with those land trusts and also private landowners to get in place quality project applications so we can make awards by the end of this fiscal year. So with that, Mr. Secretary, I'd like to just turn it back to you or open this up to questions from listeners or from the different folks who have called in.
Well, appreciate it, Chief. And Susan, we'll be glad to take questions if there are any.
Just to let everybody know, once again, if you'd like to ask a question, you've got to let us know by pressing *1 on your touchtone pad. Let's go to Tiffany Stecker. She's with Greenwire. Tiffany.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Just wondering, I know that the program was a consolidation under the Farm Bill of the Wetlands Reserve Program and Grasslands Program. Have you figured out how much of the $332 million will go to each of those sort of mission areas that would have been separate programs under previous Farm Bills?
Chief, let me take a stab at that, and then you can amplify or correct me if I'm wrong about this. One of the good things about the new program is the flexibility that it creates. In the past, we would have dedicated specific sums to each of those programs, and now what we do is we basically provide the states the opportunity to help us determine how best to use these resources and to focus them on priorities. There may be a greater demand for wetlands. There may be a greater demand for other types of lands from state to state and circumstances within each state. So this does provide flexibility. So it may be difficult to determine, at least at this point, I think, precisely how this will break down.
So historically, when we had separate programs before they were consolidated, split in funding was roughly 75% of the overall funding went to wetland reserve easements, and about 25% went to the open space working lands easement programs, such as the Farm and Ranch Land Protection Program. So under the new combined program, the Ag Conservation Easement Program, we're trying to maintain, and it's largely demand-driven, but we're trying to maintain a roughly equivalent historic allocation. So we estimate around 67 to 70% of the overall funding will go to the wetland reserve easement acquisitions, and then about 30 to 33% of the overall funding will go to the ag land easement, or the cropland, grassland, working lands component of this easement program. But the way then it works, because we're buying permanent wetlands and that we then are also restoring these cropland areas into a wetland, because that's more expensive per acre, it roughly works out to be about 50-50 in terms of a split, in terms of the actual acreage. So while we're allocating 67% of the funding to the wetland easements and about 30% or 33% to the ag land easements, it equalizes out to be about 50-50 split in terms of the actual acreage that are being protected under both legs of that new combined program.
Next on the line, Jerry Hagstrom with the Hagstrom Report. Jerry.
Yes, as I was looking at this, it struck me that from now until May 15th is not a lot of time in which someone is going to prepare this application. Are these applications complicated? Do you think that groups have been working on them already? And you say that you can apply at any point, but I guess to get out of this $332 million, you've got to do it by May 15th. Does that mean that Congress will appropriate more money next year for the program? If you could answer these questions, please.
Chief, why don't you take a stab at that?
Okay. So we've actually been taking applications since the turn of the fiscal year, all fall and through the winter. And so many of our states have been working with land trusts and with private landowners throughout the fall and the winter. So in a lot of cases, we already have a lot of good applications in hand, or people are pretty fair well down the track. This is more just the kind of the official announcement, making the broadly, publicly, nationally available announcement on the availability of the funding. And in terms of coming in getting the process going, it's actually not that complicated. The complications occur later on when you're actually going through the deed and title review, and that's actually after you've submitted the application. So to get the wheel going and to get into the program is not that big of a lift, and that is available for folks up until May 15th. To come in our field offices, work with our teams across all 50 states. If you're interested in an easement, you can get in. To your question on availability of funding, because this is a Farm Bill program, it's funded through mandatory resources, which means that it does not go through the annual appropriations process. Congress already essentially appropriated the money up front with the passage and the President's enactment of the Farm Bill last year. So we have financial resources now through fiscal year 2018. This program is authorized through 2018.
And one of the things I point
next
out
on the line,
here,
Mike Hergert with Red River Farm Network.
Wetland reserve easements in the Prairie Pothole region. Is there an application? Has there been to this point?
Within the Red River Valley, yes, we have been working with both with our old program, the Wetlands Reserve Program, as well as with the Wetland Reserve Easements component of the new program. We have been working voluntarily with landowners in the Red River region, signing up and enrolling acres into the wetland component of this program. And so now, folks, if they're interested in participating again this year, again, they have until May 15th for this year's sign-up, come in and work with us, whether you're in Minnesota, North Dakota, or South Dakota in the Red River region.
Hey, Jason, is
Mr.
this
Secretary,
part,
you were going to say something?
Yeah, I just on the Red River. Jason, could you amplify on the work that we announced last year in terms of dedicating specific resources to that Red River area, the announcement we made with the senators and the representatives from that area?
Yes, sir. So we have a special focus. This is a state-led, locally-led approach to the Red River region in trying to address the natural resource challenges, both water quantity, flooding, but then also water quality in that landscape. And for some of the listeners who may not be aware, this is a river that flows north into Canada, and often because in Canada that the river system is frozen, oftentimes when you get the spring thaw in the Dakotas and in Minnesota, you can have flooding, localized flooding, that can be fairly devastating to landowners and communities. And so we're looking to what was announced last summer was a focus of funding over 4 years of up to a total of $50 million in both easement funding and financial assistance to work with farmers and ranchers, landowners in the Red River region to make improvements on their operations, voluntary conservation actions that can address the water quality concerns, so the loss of sediment, but crucially also other farm inputs like fertilizers into the Red River system, as well as to slow down the spring thaw, the release of waters from their lands. So over time, you can, if you get enough easements, it can help with reduce the head flood, essentially, slow down the loss of waters from the lands, and ultimately reduce the height of the flooding, ultimately in the Red River as it flows north into Canada. So this also then complements, we made an award this winter in January. We announced dedication of funding to the new Regional Conservation Partnership Program as well, which is focusing resources, again, additional resources into the Red River to complement the easement dollars and the financial assistance dollars, again, to overall help attenuate and address flooding concerns and water quantity concerns in the Red River. So this is an example of how the suite of USDA conservation programs are working together as a portfolio with the local river authority, with land trusts, with state departments of agriculture, and crucially with the landowners themselves, to address both their individual producer concerns, but also the broader flooding concerns in the Red River region.
Before we close out, I just want to ask you, Chief, you announced ASAP a year ago. How much interest has there been, and do you have any success stories that you can share?
It's been very successful, and I'm actually really proud, particularly if I can take a minute, just talk about the team we have at NRCS, the fact that we would get a Farm Bill signed in February of last year of 2014, and we would get the new easement program stood up and fully rolled out in a matter of 3 to 4 months. In the end, we have $328 million we invested last year through easements. As the Secretary said, we protected 144,000 acres through 485 different easement projects. Across the United States is a huge compliment to the NRCS team, but also our land trust partners, state agency partners. And this really matters. So it's the easement program itself, as I mentioned, is a critical tool to the overall sage grouse conservation efforts in the West across 11 Western states. But then also at the local level, you can see what the impacts of these investments make. And as the Secretary said in his remarks, you get down to the local scale, whether you're in the Everglades or in the example of California, where you make these investments into easements, and you restore the lands, it turns out that the resources come back. So one success story would be from the Central Valley of California at the confluence of the Tuolumne and the San Joaquin Rivers. There's an easement where we put in place a 1,000-acre easement along the floodplain there, and it's not just benefiting migratory birds and other waterfowl, there are other species. In this case, it was riparian brush rabbit, which we thought was extinct. We thought it was gone. It's a critically endangered species. And it turned out we found the first time in almost a decade this little rabbit, this little critter, which everyone had thought was extinct, was living on an NRCS wetland reserve easement along the river and doing very well and thriving. And this is an example where you make the investment, you work collaboratively, you can bring them back. Nature will respond. It responds to the nurturing and to the investments that the landowners make, but then also NRCS is making through these kind of programs. And we have examples of that across the United States, where you give an opportunity for nature to respond, nature will come back. And this is a great example of how private lands, voluntary, incentive-based conservation can make a difference.
Mr. Secretary, before we close out the call, anything to add?
Well, I just want to add a couple of points about how these easements specifically work. In the permanent easement area, USDA, through these resources, can provide up to 100% of the value of the easement to owners, and then can also provide anywhere from 75 to 100% of restoration costs. In the 30-year easement area, it's 50 to 75% of the value of the easement plus 50 to 75% of the restoration cost. In term easements, it's a similar ratio as the 30-year easement. But what I particularly like about this program is that Jason and his team have also found a way around some of the challenges that we have in tribal areas with reference to land ownership, and have created a 30-year contract opportunity and option in Indian country. So regardless of where we might be asked to assist and provide assistance and help, we have created the flexibility within this program to be able to respond to whatever the challenges. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's a popular program, and we would expect and anticipate to have a similar kind of report a year from now in terms of interest and number of acres protected.
Mr. Secretary, thank you. Jason Weller, Chief of NRCS, thank you, and all who have been on this call.